Are you ready to awaken to a new you? Welcome to Healthy You Radio, the radio network that empowers you to heal you. Keisha Yours is here to share over 25 years of frontline medical experience, bringing you the latest scientific and medical research, tempered with the holistic wisdom of Ayurveda and functional medicine, all so you can be the best you you can be. And now your host, Keisha Yours.
And welcome to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Keisha Yours, your wellness coach and advisor for today, and bringing you radio that empowers you to heal yourself. Hello, Eric.
Good afternoon, Keisha.
It's a gorgeous Seattle day.
And we're starting to sound like a broken record.
We are.
Here. Absolutely.
Is this the Pacific Northwest? Pinch me.
Yes. And we could see the Olympics from our studio, which is a great treat because probably about half the year, we just have to take them on faith.
That's right.
Take it on faith that they're still there, you know?
Yeah. Believe that what we've seen all summer long still hangs out over there. It's true. It's true. Well, we have a really exciting interview today.
Excellent.
Yeah. This is a repeat to the show. Dr. Dan Siegel, who was on with MindSight before.
But it is a live show.
Yes, it's a live show.
But it's a returning guest.
A returning guest. Did yes. I not make that clear? I'm so sorry.
I was slightly confused when you said it was a repeat. I'm like, what am I doing here? I could be working on other stuff.
That's right.
But glad to have our guest back.
Yeah. Please. So Dr. Siegel is a clinical professor of psychiatry at the UCLA School of Medicine and the co-director of the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center and executive director of the MindSight Institute. He's also the author of many award-winning publications, but some of my personal favorites are Parenting from the Inside Out, How a Deeper Self-Understanding Can Help You Raise Children Who Thrive, as well as MindSight, the New Science of Personal Transformation, and his latest book, which is co-authored by Dr. Tina Bryson, The Whole Brain Child. Welcome to Healthy You Radio, Dr. Siegel.
Thanks, Keisha, and hi, Eric. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back on the show. So you have once again contributed a really wonderful piece of work to those of us that are trying to figure out how to master ourselves and grow into better human beings here. There's nothing
well,
like
you.
Parenting to show you how you're doing, right? In your evolution of consciousness.
Absolutely. It really awakens you to everything you need to be awakened to.
Oh my gosh. I've got four children and I always say they've been my greatest teachers.
Absolutely.
So your latest book talks about 12 strategies for nurturing a child's developing mind. And let's start there because I don't think people really understand fully how a child's mind is developing at different levels through their childhood, into their 20s even. Can you take us on a little developmental tour, so to speak?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing to say is the whole brain child, which I wrote with Tina Bryson, who's a student and now colleague of mine, was really trying to bring to parents the basic science of exactly what you're talking about, Keisha. What does a parent need to know about how the mind develops? And this book focuses on the period from birth to about 12 years of age. So in these first dozen years, what do we know about the mind? And the really exciting thing to say is that we're learning so much about how relationships contribute to the way the mind develops, and also how the brain is a part of how the mind develops. So in the book, we focus on these three entities: your relationship that you have with your child, an understanding of the structure and function of the brain, and then the mind, which includes your feelings and thoughts and basically your internal subjective experience, as well as what your child becomes aware of, and then how he or she is going to actually regulate, which means to kind of monitor something and then modify the thing, how they regulate energy and information flow both in their body and in their relationships. So we take this fundamental view and then we make it in an accessible way filled with stories to say, how does a kid's mind develop? And I can walk you through the different stages if that's what you like, but that's the overall approach. And the basic thing for a parent to know is that when you become aware of these things, what you do with your child in moments, especially when it's challenging or when you may be a little confused, this sort of sheds light on those challenging moments and allows you to teach them, your kids, how to develop a really resilient mind, even in the face of those challenges.
Because challenges are going to happen no matter what. And I think that's one of the things that as adults, we may not really understand, I think, until a certain point in time. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of times when we're raised on the fairy tales that we're raised on, adults come into adulthood, into marriage, and into parenting, having expectations that are completely unrealistic. Things like, if I find the right one, then I'll ride away into the sunset, living happily ever after, and someone else is going to have problems, but I won't. You know, there's a lot of that sort of magical thinking, I think, in society. And then if I, you know, with the child rearing, not understanding that your stories that you bring to the table actually deeply influence the kind of parent you are, and now you're sitting across from somebody else with their own stories that you're trying to co-parent with, and that can become difficult. And then the child is taking all of this in, and what they're doing with it and their own little mishmash, you know, creates something completely new. And I think flexibility becomes sort of, the resiliency and flexibility become the watchwords. Isn't that true?
That's the key thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, what the principle that we're presenting in this book, which the feedback we've gotten from people who actually now are using the book has been so rewarding, because the principle is very simple. There's a concept called integration, mm-hmm. and integration is where you take things that are a part of a system, like, let's say, your left and right side of your brain, or your relationship with your child, where there's you and there's your child. That's the system. When you allow things to be different, that's called differentiation, and then you link them, and that's kind of the way you connect things, then you actually can achieve the flexibility and resilience that you're talking about, Keisha. And so this really simple idea then can be turned into practical steps where you say, okay, well, how do I integrate the left and right side of the brain, or how do I integrate the higher parts of the brain with the more impulsive, emotional lower parts, or how do I integrate myself with my child, you know? And so by taking this fundamental stance that integration is health, what a parent is given is this very accessible view, which basically says this: when things in your family or things with your child become chaotic, that is, they're unpredictable and wild and out of control, or when they become rigid and shut down, like a child is refusing to do something or is inflexible or becoming really depressed, those moments of either rigidity, like I just described, or chaos, those are examples when something about the system you're looking at, whether it's a relationship or an individual, something in that system is not integrated. And that's the simple idea, is that chaos and rigidity are moments of impaired integration. So then as a parent, what you are taught to do is say, okay, this chaos, this rigidity feels bad. It's not really helping anyone in this moment. How do I actually find which area is not integrated? And then with my parental move right now, I can actually go from chaos to rigidity, either in myself or in my child or in our relationship and the family, and actually turn it into a moment to move toward integration. And we could take it step by step, but that's the overall idea. And the really exciting thing is, in fact, we just got a newsletter from my daughter's school that the headmaster read the book over the holidays, and he started using it in his work as the headmaster of the school, and thought it was really extremely useful. So he sent the blast out to everyone in the school about this approach of integration that the whole brain child talks about. So
wonderful.
It's really, really neat, because it's not complicated, but it's deeply rooted in science. And the results are very practical. You can see them right away in finding new ways to approach some of the most challenging moments in parenting.
I was just having a moment of compassion for your daughter. There's nowhere to go. You know, I can't escape.
Well, it went out to the parents. I don't know if the kids get that newsletter.
No.
Maybe they do. Actually, I should talk about it.
It's like having the preacher's
now,
kid or the, you know, it's like there's nowhere to go to escape.
That's true. Yeah. Can I get any place that's my own?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And I loved the refrigerator sheet that you guys put together in the back of your book. You did a really nice developmental overview that's in there, and then you also did this refrigerator sheet that's in the back of the whole brain child. So everyone, as you're listening to this, this is a wonderful tool that you can kind of snip out of there for a reminder to stick on your refrigerator, quite literally. But I'd like to kind of go through those tips as we return from a break. Okay.
Beautiful.
All right. You're listening to Healthy You Radio. This is Keisha Ewer. Stay tuned and we'll return with more from Dr. Dan Siegel, author of The Whole Brain Child.
Your skin is exposed to a constant barrage of environmental toxins, so protect it the Ayurvedic way with all-natural body creams from the Fern Life Center's Fern Simples collection. Designed by medical professionals to fit your unique body type, Fern Simples body creams moisturize, detoxify, and help your body find peace through balanced healing using essential oils and plant-based organic ingredients. Protect your body, mind, and soul with over 5,000 years of Ayurvedic healing wisdom. Pick up the Fern Simples Ayurvedic body creams today at Fern Life Center or find them online at fernlifecenter.com.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle. Not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
It has been said from ancient to modern times that the seed of health begins in the colon. Fern Life Center's colon hydrotherapy is a safe, clean, odor-free method of cleaning up your digestion without the use of drugs or chemicals. Toxicity of the colon can cause severe disease, ranging from simple allergies to major medical problems, including cancer, altered immunity, and even mental health issues that range from brain fog to bipolar disorder. Go to www.fernlifecenter.com today to schedule your colon hydrotherapy appointment and start your journey to clean health today. If you book now, you will receive our signature chakra balancing treatment to go with your colon hydrotherapy session free. This is a $35 value, absolutely free if you book today. Go to www.fernlifecenter.com for more information about our unique colon hydrotherapy program.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Keisha Ewers bringing you radio that empowers you to heal yourself. And today is no exception. Our guest today has written several wonderful books. The last one he co-authored with Dr. Tina Bryson. It's called The Whole Brain Child. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Siegel.
Thanks, Keisha. Great to be here.
So we were talking at the first part of the show about the difference, I think, between an adult mind and a child mind, in a sense, and what kind of happens as you're integrating into your system of family and parent-child. And you guys put together what I was talking about before, the refrigerator sheet that's in the back of the book, The Whole Brain Child. And I'd love to go through that with you. It leaves a nice framework that we can work from on the word integration, which I actually think is one of the more important words there is. There are a lot of meditators out there that don't integrate what they learn on the cushion and walk around upright, not getting what they got when they're just in meditation. So I think integration is one of the most important words we have for learning and then putting into practice what we learn, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a fundamental principle of, you know, inner well-being and relational well-being, and it's just so useful, and it's wonderful to see that it's helping people.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing that you said is we need to integrate our left brain and our right brain. So why don't you talk a little bit about we usually talk about these different hemispheres having different realms of focus when we talk about the brain, and why do we need to have that bridge between the two strong?
Absolutely. Well, the first, and you kind of asked it in our first segment, you know, was about the development of the brain. So the first thing to say is that for a young child, an infant, it's the right side of the brain that is most active both in its development. is actual neural activity. The electrical activity of the right side is more prominent in the first years of life. And what this tells us is that we need to know as parents what's the difference between the right and the left, because an infant is going to be having mostly a right hemisphere experience in the early days and months of life. So that's the first reason for parents to know about that. The second reason is, as a parent, we need to remember that while the brain is going to be driven to grow and develop based on genes, so there's a lot of genetic information that's responsible for how the brain gets wired up. So as a parent, you don't need to fret about it and worry about, oh my God, how am I going to get all these basic cells of the brain to connect to each other? You don't need to worry about that. The genes that you've passed on to your child will set that up. But we also know that how a parent directs a child's attention helps give them structure in their lives and helps shape how they enact their behaviors. Those experiences that kids have actually also shape the brain. And so the reason to know about that is not so much to make parents worry, but actually to realize that the opportunity to raise a child is actually also the responsibility to learn a little bit about the brain, and we know enough now to know what parents should know, and then to use that to help integrate the brain. So the left and right side of the brain is a good starting place, because it's pretty clear-cut that there's a left side and there's a right side, that the right develops earlier on, and that the way the right side experiences life, which means the way it experiences a way of being, the kind of awareness and the texture of the awareness that it has, even the way it carries out behaviors, those are going to be differentiated or distinct, unique, special, compared to the kind of being and perceiving and thinking and awareness and behaving that emanates from the left side. So we use as a general term the word mode, like a left mode and a right mode, because usually the right and left work together, but there's a dominance of one side or the other. So if there are scientists listening in, we know that the two sides usually work together, that a lot of research shows there's a lot of collaboration. But the fact is, when you look at the extensive amount of research, the left and right are actually quite differentiated, and there are distinct modes. So what's the difference? In the left side, it's easy to remember because they start with L. So I'm going to actually list them for us now, and it's just easier for our memory systems to grab onto these L's. The first L of the left is that it's later to develop. So around 2, after the second birthday, you know, the second year of life, a little bit before the second birthday, the left is coming on board, whereas the right is earlier. So the first thing to know, the left is later. The next L to just remember is language is dominant in the left. So the words that I'm using right now to speak to you, Keisha, these are being received in a dominant way by your left mode, and your right can respond to language like your name or prominent words or things like that. And your right really is specializing not so much in the words themselves, but the prosody, the tone of my voice, the timing of what I say, the context of what I'm saying. Your right is going to emphasize, whereas the literal nature, the text of what I'm saying, the left dominates with that.
And the right will help me create visuals about what you're saying, too,
totally.
Which I think is why that infant, you know, if you think about the right-sided mode there, that's what they're doing. They're taking in their world in this
very
visual way.
They're taking in their world. That's a beautiful way of describing it. They're soaking in things as they are rather than categorizing them in words.
Right.
And that's a big difference. And so the right, in that sense, is really having a visual spatial imagery that it's dominant for, and it's also kind of holistically seeing things, whereas the left kind of takes things apart in a more linear way rather than holistic, and the left is really more about looking at what's called the logical cause-effect relationships among things, whereas the right is more about just how are things really? I don't need to know why A caused B to go to C. Just let me soak in, like going to a museum. Let me just soak in the paintings. I don't have to analyze them. So those are some of the basic differences. And another really, really important set of differences that isn't usually known or talked about is that the body itself and the body's influence on the lower parts of the brain, which are the emotional, more primitive parts like the brainstem and the limbic areas. These lower areas, called subcortical, because they're below the higher area of the brain, which is called the cortex, we call them the downstairs brain.
Right.
These downstairs influences directly affect the right hemisphere, but they're more distant from the left. So the right is much more intimately connected to your body and your emotions. And it also specializes, the right, in autobiographical memory, your memory of yourself through time. And it helps you reduce stress and all sorts of very emotional primary things in your life. The left is really more about, categorizing things and understanding the conceptual nature of things. So these differences are especially prominent with children because the two hemispheres aren't working well together yet because the corpus callosum that connects them isn't fully mature. And in fact, it probably doesn't fully mature, I think, maybe into your 50s or 60s.
I was going to say, my husband and I make up one perfect brain. He's the left, I'm the right.
There you go. So a relationship can be your corpus callosum.
That's
exactly
right.
So this is a good example of integration in the relationship you have with your husband. And for a parent, the reason it's important to know this is because if your child gets flooded with a bodily sensation, it's especially going to influence right hemisphere sense of self, right hemisphere sense of understanding other people, because empathy has a dominance in the right mode too. And what that means is that if your child is flooded with a lot of this downstairs stuff, at that moment you do not want to just flood them with a bunch of left brain language, because that's going to be a disconnect that won't be responded to well by your child. Instead, connect with nonverbal signals. So the right specializes in the nonverbal signals of eye contact, the facial expressions you send, the tone of your voice, your posture, your gestures, the timing of what you do, and the intensity of what you do. So to review that, that's eye contact, and you can do it in a visual way. If you point your eyes, eye contact, point your face, facial expressions, point to your voice box, tone of voice, point to your posture, say posture, gesture and say gestures, point to where your wrist watch would be, which is the timing, and then make a fist and say intensity of response. These seven nonverbal signals, the right hemisphere uses it to figure out what's going on, uses this set of them to figure out what's going on inside of someone else, and also to express what's going on inside of itself. Now, the left brain doesn't have much skill at interpreting these nonverbal signals. So here's a real distinction between the two. And so a parent needs to remember, because in schools, we're often very dominant in our left mode, and we may have forgotten how to use in a skillful way these right mode things. So we say connect and redirect, which is connect with your right hemisphere nonverbal responses with your child. Hug them. Let your tone of voice match theirs. Make sure you're really getting a feeling for what's going on in your child, not just a thought, but letting yourself soak in the feelings of what's happening. Ideally, you want to really sense, what's the internal world of my child like at this moment? And then after you do that, your child will feel felt by you, which is basically the core of healthy attachments, that we feel another person feels us inside of them. And at that moment, your child will have their arousal levels stabilized, they'll calm down a bit. And then if you need to, you can redirect them. So we call that connect and redirect. And that's one way of thinking about how the right brain starts with a right-to-right connection, and then you move to a left-right, left-right connection. And another way is just we call name it to tame it, which is these amazing studies, some of them out of UCLA, which are basically showing that when you name something with your left brain, like a feeling that's inside of you, the whole system stabilizes and calms down. So naming something that's going on is actually, from a brain point of view, linking the left with the naming and the right with the bodily sensation, and it links them together in a way that stabilizes and calms the whole system. So we just remember that in a brief kind of way of name it to tame it. It's another example of integrating the left and the right. Both modes, really important, just different, and integration is the connecting of different parts of ourselves.
Beautiful, and so simply put, and yet the integration part is always, I think if people understand you can do integration in baby steps, it's a little more helpful, right?
Well, exactly. And that's why we have the refrigerator sheet just showing people step by step, you know, that because we're busy as parents, we're tired, we're exhausted, we feel overwhelmed, flooded. You go, oh, my God, I'm not doing this right. So what we wanted to do is not only show how we goof up and we find it challenging too, Tina and I, but also we wanted to say, look, when you really look at integration as the fundamental route to well-being, with that as your guiding light, if there's chaos and rigidity going on, you take a deep breath, you go, okay, I know things are not comfortable right now. I don't really understand what's going on, but the chaos and rigidity tell me there's a blockage to integration. So I just need to use these tools that I'm being taught and figure out where is there not differentiating going on and where is there not linking going on, and then use my parental move at this moment to actually promote differentiation and then linkage. And then what the feedback we've gotten from parents, either in person or by email, has been amazing, because people say, oh, my God, it works. And we're so happy that we could articulate these ideas that come straight from science. I mean, all the books I write about are about the power of integration to create well-being, and this is basically translating that for parents to make it into practical steps to help their family life.
And I think another point is you have a lot of cartoons in the book, which are nice, because you can kind of go through and see these little different scenarios of a good way to do it and maybe one that you could improve on.
And yeah, you know, and listen, parenting is hard for everybody.
Yes.
And so we wanted to put those two things back to back. So say, look, this is when a way a lot of people would do it. But hey, if you try this integration move, see how that works for you. And we, you know, it was fun putting the cartoons in, because, listen, I know if I'm exhausted and I've got a cartoon I can look at instead of just a lot of text, you know, it feels really good and accessible. And also it lets my right brain feel good that it's visualizing something.
Well, and something that's helpful, my youngest children right now are teenagers and in high school. And, you know, they're at an age now where I can go back to them and I can say, you know, I really messed that up. What I could have done is this. And then we can talk about it. And so they still get the lesson, even though I messed up in that moment, of, oh, this is a different way to think about it. And then we can integrate this soon. And then they can hold you as an accountability partner. Because my kids will definitely hold me accountable when I tell them the bar that I want to reach and this is what I want to do. Then they'll say, Mom. So it's kind of nice to bring your kids into the conversation. And I showed a couple, you know, I showed a couple of those cartoons. I said, you recognize this? And, you know, there's like, oh, yeah. So
no, that's so great, Keisha. Well, you know, it's also why, you know, in the book, we have two other sections. You know, one is the whole brain kids section, which is for parents to read with their kids about the brain and integration and stuff. And the other was, you know, integrating ourselves, you know, because in the other book I wrote with Mary Hartzell, Parenting from the Inside Out, you know, we say, look, you have an opportunity to actually use parenting as a moment to actually reflect on your own life, and actually research shows that helps your child too. So we put, Tina and I put that in this book, the idea of how do you actually apply integration to your own inner life.
Well, I think anytime you're triggered, you're upset over something your kid did, then all of a sudden you have to look at that. And that's your moment for insight and into your own world as to why you're upset about this. And then you can unfold how you want to handle it.
Exactly.
And so this allows you to get a little bit more up into that frontal area of your brain instead of the downstairs, as you call it, and where you just have automatic default reactivity, which may not be healthy. So you have a lot of great tools here. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about integration and different parts of the brain and how to parent your children as whole brain children and make yourself into a whole brain parent. This is Keisha Yours. You're listening to Healthy You Radio.
Are you ready to find balance in your life? Sometimes life can be challenging on all levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Visit Fern Life Center and let Keisha Yours, ARNP, an integrative medical specialist, design a detoxification program that fits your unique needs, body type, and lifestyle. One size does not fit all, and detoxing can potentially be harmful if not done properly. Interfern Life Center's detoxification and Panchakarma program and come out with a new lease on life, feeling more energetic, peaceful, and lighter. Call Fern Life Center today and find out what transformation feels like. Call 425-391-3376 and make an appointment with Keisha today. Mention this ad and get a free steam in their unique detoxifying herbalized cedar steamer with any regular massage. Lighten up your body, mind, and spirit. You're worth it. Go to fernlifecenter.com and sign up for Keisha's free monthly newsletter, and you can keep up with the latest health tips, seasonal recipes, words of wisdom, and get your questions answered in her advice column. Don't just take our word for it. Listen to what others have to say about Fern Life Center's amazing weight loss program. Give yourself the gift of good health this season.
Since going on the Fern Life Center Ideal Protein Diet Program, I've been able to go off my cholesterol medication. My total cholesterol is 58 points lower than it was 3 months ago, and that is after going off Lipitor. My good cholesterol has improved, and my bad cholesterol is down, and my triglycerides are now normal. I've lost 55 pounds, 26 inches in 5 months. I feel like I have my life back and am free from my food addictions. Woohoo! Thanks, Keisha, and Ideal Protein.
Go to fernlifecenter.com to schedule your first appointment today. That's fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and get a water bottle absolutely free.
Are you one of those people who gets the winter blues along with the winter bulge? Well, this year, make a different choice. Get your brain checked. You get your oil checked in your car and you put the right gasoline in at the pump. Aren't you more important than your car? Make an appointment with Keisha and get your neurotransmitter levels checked. Those are the brain chemicals that affect your mood, your food cravings, your sleep patterns, your libido, and motivate you to exercise. A simple blood or urine test will tell you what you need to do to motor through the winter months efficiently instead of stalling out. To make an appointment, call 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. Or go to fernlifecenter.com for more information about our revolutionary neurotransmitter rebalancing program. Feel your best and look fantastic this winter. Call now.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Keisha Ewers, and if you can't find us on your radio dial at 11:50 a.m. Alternative Talk, you can find us at 1 p.m. Monday through Wednesday, live streaming off the internet on healthyyourradio.com or on Facebook. If you fan us, let us know. I just had a listener today give me an idea for an interview of someone she wanted to hear from, so we flagged it and wrote her a letter to invite her on the show. So if there's anyone you want to hear from, subjects that you want to know about, topics you want to learn more about, then please let me know. And we try to make that happen for you. Our guest today is Dr. Dan Siegel, who's the author of numerous things, including Mindsight. But the latest book with Dr. Tina Bryson is The Whole Brain Child that we're talking about today. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Siegel.
Thanks, Keisha.
So we've been talking about the catchword of your work, which is integration. And we talked about integrating the left and right brains and left and right brain. I shouldn't put a plural on that. And we were talking about upstairs and downstairs brain also, which I think that you use to talk about limbic and kind of what people think of as a reptilian brain versus our more adult cognition, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So you talk about the upstairs brain being under construction during childhood and adolescence, and that it can be hijacked by the downstairs brain. So with chaos and high emotional situations. So why don't you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, the first thing to say is, you know, these terms we tried to make as accessible for parents as possible. So, I am also a scientist, so I know there are quite a lot of details that go behind studying the brain stem and all its nuclei and the limbic area and its different zones. And so when we translated the brain stem and limbic areas into the term downstairs brain, the scientist in me said, oh my God, you know, that's such a simple term. There's so much science behind the differentiation of limbic and brainstem areas.
Simple is good.
It's simple is good. And that's what I'm learning as a writer and an educator, is that, you know, everything we write about is actually consistent with science, but I just want people to know, if you look in the scientific literature, you will not see the term downstairs brain anywhere. Nor will you see the staircase of the mind, you know.
Right.
So here's the idea. The idea is that, you know, we've had a way that we've evolved over hundreds of millions of years, where the old parts of the nervous system, which are deeper in the skull, have basically stayed pretty much the same, the brainstem. But then we've acquired areas that are integrated with them, like the limbic area, 200 million years ago, is on top of the brainstem from 300 million years ago. And then as we develop more as mammals, not only do we get a limbic area, but we develop the higher part or upstairs brain called the cortex. And especially as primates, we became filled with a very active frontal area. And then as humans, the very front part of this upstairs cortex, it became much more elaborated. And as these higher areas evolved and developed on top of the lower ones, there's a linkage of these differentiated higher areas with the more ancient specialized circuits that are down below. So the key thing is to realize that the cortex, the upstairs brain, has a lot of different functions that it creates than the lower brain, the downstairs brain. And when you understand these differentiated roles that these parts of the brain take on, you can really understand things in a very different way. So if my son or daughter is very emotional, or if I'm very emotional, you know, I can help myself or them understand the experience by saying, you know, emotions in part are shaped by what your body is doing, meaning your muscles, your heart, your lungs, your intestines, your hormones. Have those bodily responses, the physiology of the body, actually go up into the downstairs brain, the brainstem and the limbic area, and shape how they're acting in terms of, should I fight, should I flee, should I freeze for the brainstem? How important is this for the limbic area? These ideas of, should I pay attention to this? And these washes of emotion get shaped by these deep downstairs brain and bodily responses. So in the cortex, where in part consciousness is created, awareness, you become aware of a flood of emotions that feels like it's out of your control, because at that moment, it's coming from the downstairs brain, whereas your awareness is being generated from the upstairs brain. So when they're not integrated, what can happen is, if the downstairs stuff, the downstairs brain, these emotions, these feelings, this flood of impulses, fight, flight, freeze reaction, all these deep ancient circuitry responses, if those are too differentiated and we don't have, in a sense, a relationship with them, we can feel like we're just being swallowed up by emotion, being swept up in a storm that we can't deal with it. It's just this foreign experience that's coming in and taking us over, and we're lost in the whirlwind. So the first step of integrating the downstairs brain with the upstairs brain is to acknowledge that these ancient responses are really important, that whatever they're telling us in that moment, they have some very valuable lesson to give us. So a lot of people, including children, feel like these emotions are actually their prison warden, like they're taking them over, like they're bad, they're making them feel helpless. So the first step is to say, you know, you can actually, as a parent, engage a child with whatever emotion they're in, rather than saying things like, don't feel that, or there's no reason you should be feeling that, or why do you have sadness, or don't be sad, or things like that. That's enraging a person, because basically what you're doing is you're denying the value and the validity of their actual emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a parent, of course, you want your child to feel better. You yourself have an incredible instinct to take away the distress from your child. But we know from work of John Gottman and other wonderful researchers that, you know, your ability to stay present with your child when he or she is feeling something really uncomfortable is the key to effective parenting. You know, whether you call that, you know, developing emotional intelligence or emotion coaching or whatever you want to, mindfulness, whatever you want to call it, the issue is this. We as parents need to stay present in moments of distress and discomfort, so that our child learns that, wow, we didn't just tell them to get rid of it or change the subject or distract them or something like that. We actually stayed with the feeling and taught them that their upstairs brain, inspired by our role modeling, can actually stay fully present for a downstairs flood of stuff. And that experience is the route to emotional intelligence, the route to resilience. It's even the route to social intelligence, because it teaches us that, hey, whatever is going on has something to teach us. Rather than being an enemy, it's actually a friend, no matter how uncomfortable it is. And so this is the way we engage and don't enrage. We then say, hey, you have lots of chances to then use your upstairs brain to actually tune into what's going on inside yourself. And you can literally, with the whole brain kid sections, you can teach your kid, hey, right now your downstairs brain is flooded with stuff. Let's see if we can understand the wisdom of your downstairs brain. It may not speak in logic and language, but it has a bunch of wise messages it's trying to give you. Let's listen in from an upstairs brain point of view. Let's open the channels of communication to ask, what is this feeling about? Anger, sadness, distress, disappointment, betrayal, whatever it is. What's this feeling about? Let's just stay with it. And when you teach your child that that's an important step to take, they learn how to do that for themselves. And they open this stairway, if you will, that opens the communication between the downstairs, really important source of wisdom, and the upstairs, important source of reasoning. And this is an opportunity to literally integrate the upstairs with the downstairs brain.
You also talk about moving it or losing it.
Yeah, well, this is really, you know, we live in a body that's more than a transport vehicle. You know, it's
right.
It shapes our feelings, it shapes everything. So literally having kids move their body around will change their emotional state. And instead of just sitting there still, like a lot of parents will say, sit there and listen to me. No, you let your child move around. Moving the body allows you not to flip out, you know, and it's such an important aspect of how the mind functions, because the mind is truly both embodied. I mean, it lives in our whole body, and how we move the body shapes our mental life, our feelings and our thoughts. And also the mind is relational. And when you really embrace these two locations of mind in the body as a whole, not just up in the skull, but in the body as a whole, so moving the body is important, and relationships, so how we communicate and engage and not enrage, is the relational part of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. All right, we have to take a quick break. That was great. And let's talk some more about integration in other parts of our brain and what to do when the clouds of emotion roll by. This is Keisha Yours. You're listening to Healthy You Radio. We'll return in a moment.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class is February 11th, 2012. See Ajayan.com for more details. If you're suffering with sinus congestion, fatigue, itchy eyes, eczema, acne, or any of the host of symptoms of allergies like hay fever, food allergies, even allergies to animals, you need NAET. NAET is a protocol that actually eliminates your allergies forever. Throw away the antihistamines, stop yearly allergy shots, and enjoy having your family pet in the house. To begin your journey to an allergy-free life, call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 or visit fernlifecenter.com. Your consultation with Keisha Ewers, ARNP, is covered by most insurance plans. Call now and start to enjoy the outdoors. Mention this ad and receive your program guidebook free. This is a $20 value. Call or visit Fern Life Center and make your appointment today. 425-391-3376. Don't just take our word for it. Listen to what others have to say about Fern Life Center's amazing weight loss program. Give yourself the gift of good health this season.
Since going on the Fern Life Center Ideal Protein Diet Program, I've been able to go off my cholesterol medication. My total cholesterol is 58 points lower than it was 3 months ago. And that is after going off Lipitor. My good cholesterol has improved, and my bad cholesterol is down, and my triglycerides are now normal. I've lost 55 pounds, 26 inches in 5 months. I feel like I have my life back and am free from my food addictions. Woohoo! Thanks, Keisha, and Ideal Protein.
Go to FernLifeCenter.com to schedule your first appointment today. That's FernLifeCenter.com. Mention this ad and get a water bottle absolutely free.
Listen live at 1150KKNW.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Keisha Ewers, and you're joining me today with my guest, Dr. Dan Siegel, who's the author of Mindsight, The New Science of Personal Transformation, and his latest book, which is co-authored by Dr. Tina Bryson, The Whole Brain Child. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Siegel.
Thanks, Keisha.
So I actually, every time I've said that, I've realized that's not quite true, because you've written a couple other books since The Whole Brain Child that just aren't out yet, right?
That's right. I just finished two of them yesterday.
Ah, congratulations.
Thanks.
So you want to give us a little preview on the titles, what we're going to look for?
Sure. Well, one of them is a very science-rich book. It's the second edition of my first book called The Developing Mind, How Relationships and the Brain Interact to Shape Who We Are. So for anyone interested in the science behind integration and all that we're talking about, it starts with the book The Developing Mind. So the new edition, revised and updated, will be out in March. And then a companion book to both The Whole Brain Child and The Developing Mind is something called The Pocket Guide to Interpersonal Neurobiology. And basically, that book takes all the science and it, in a really fun way, presents an immersion for the reader in all these ideas for themselves to understand the way the brain works, the way the mind and relationships influence the brain. And that book is a new way of approaching reading. It's what's called a non-linear book that you can dive in anywhere and go anywhere. And I had a lot of fun putting that new format together. So those will both be out in the middle of March. And the three books together really actually all complement each other. So it's very exciting to be at this moment when they'll be coming out.
So I can see we're going to have you back on in April to talk about this.
A pleasure.
All right. So one of the things that I loved about The Whole Brain Child, not only the refrigerator sheet, I love tools that I can give to my patients. So I'm a clinician first and foremost, and I like useful information that I can do in sound bites that insurance will pay for, right? Mm-hmm. That they can walk out of my office and instantly begin to integrate. And so I found this a wonderful book for that reason, because I have a lot of parents in my practice. And so the refrigerator sheet is wonderful. And I actually put that into our newsletter with a blurb about your book for people to get it.
Fantastic.
And then I would also like to talk about another thing that I thought was really great that parents can use with their children at home, and that's the Wheel of Awareness.
Absolutely. Well, the Wheel of Awareness is a really simple process that, first of all, as an adult, you can go to my website and download it on your digital thing and for free, and just have it so you can practice it yourself. So if you go to drdansiegel.com, drdansiegel.com, you'll find the Wheel of Awareness there. So it's an actual practice that I created to really integrate awareness. And what that means for us as adults is it gives you this chance to differentiate the different things you could be aware of, that is, like your senses that come in from the outside world, your sense of the bodily world, your feelings and thoughts and your mental life, basically, and even your sense of connection to other people and the whole planet. So this is around the rim of the wheel, and then in the center of the wheel is a hub, and this hub basically represents awareness. So from this place of open awareness, the hub, you can actually imagine sending a spoke of this wheel out to anywhere on the rim you choose, so you can focus attention to, let's say, what you're seeing or what you're hearing, and bring what's coming in from sound or sight into awareness through this spoke. What this practice does is it teaches people, number one, that whatever is coming up on the rim is just something there in the moment, and it's not the totality of who you are, that you're much bigger than just the thought you're having or the feeling that's coming over you or the sensation in your body or, you know, something you're seeing, that you're much bigger than that. That's number one. Number two, you also differentiate the fact that awareness is not the same as your feeling. It's not the same as what you're seeing. It's not the same as the sense in your body. So when you differentiate awareness itself, the hub, from that which you're aware of, which is the rim, it empowers people in this way that is so beautiful to hear about, because then people basically, as we talk about in the book, and you can teach this to kids as young as five, we've been teaching it to, and what that does is it gives a child or anyone, an adult, the power to say, wow, at this moment, I feel this thing on the rim, my worry about Johnny not coming to my birthday party is so big, it's so big, it's everything. And then when you've practiced the wheel before, and also when you can practice it in that moment that you're worried that Johnny's not coming to your birthday party, you can actually sense the broader rim, that there's much more than just this feeling of disappointment that Johnny got sick and can't come to your birthday party. And then when you come to the peaceful sanctuary of the hub, you're able to see that the feeling of disappointment that Johnny's not coming is a very powerful and real feeling, but it's not the totality of who you are, that you're bigger than that. And you can actually move the spoke around to different aspects of the rim so that you're not preoccupied with this issue of Johnny not coming to the birthday party. So it's a metaphor, it's a visual map that allows kids, teenagers, and adults to really see the structure of how awareness and the mind itself works, so that you can then change how your mind functions by empowering you to literally integrate consciousness and gain the flexibility that comes with that.
And this is called integrating the many parts of yourself in your book. And I think that this is an important facet for people to understand, is that they are multidimensional beings. And this does put it in a very visual way that they can work with when kids, like you said, can kind of perseverate on one thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you have that activity in mind as a parent, and you've practiced it yourself a little bit and you're familiar with it, when you teach it to your child, it's this gift that keeps on gifting, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you've taught your child the deepest root to resilience and emotional and social intelligence. And it's free. It's just a matter of learning it and teaching it. And it gives you a vocabulary that you can share with your child as you go through all the ups and downs of life.
Mm-hmm. And I think another aspect of that that's very, very important is I always teach my patients, it's one of my life lessons, is that all unhappiness comes from unmet expectations. And when you're seeing that whatever you're unhappy about on that rim actually doesn't have anything to do with who you are in the center, you're trying to control what somebody else is going to do, think, feel, or say, then you can help them understand that that's impossible, that the only person they actually have control of is themselves.
Exactly.
So you've separated that out, and I think that's a very important thing for a child to learn. Most adults don't know how to do that.
That's right. And imagine a family where the wheel of awareness and this whole idea of integration becomes the fundamental part of, you know, mm-hmm. how you live life and go out into the world. I mean, mm-hmm. what a really strong way to create a foundation for our children and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Siegel, let's give your contact information one more time so people can find what you're doing. I know you have a good newsletter that comes out, and they can kind of keep up with you and the books that you're bringing out and the wisdom that they can tap into.
Absolutely. It's very simple. It's the letters DR for doctor, DR, and then Dan, D-A-N, and then my last name, Siegel, SIEGEL.com. So DrDanSiegel.com. And there you'll find exercises to do, the newsletter, all sorts of things that we hope are enriching people's lives.
And one quote from The Whole Brain Child that I want to end with that you write is, early experience is not fate, By making sense of your past, you can free yourself from what might otherwise be a cross-generational legacy of pain and insecure attachment, and instead create an inheritance of nurturance and love for your children. What a beautiful, beautiful statement to end with as a parent, to be able to know that it's not fate. you can actually change everything.
That's the power of awareness.
That's right. So thank you so much for the work you do and the light that you are for all of us.
Thank you, Keisha. It's great to be with you.
All right. We'll talk to you again in April.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
Remember, everybody, to live, love, laugh, learn, and listen to the Healthy You Radio Network, and have a great day.